You're listening to the DolphinsTalk.com Podcast Network.
What is going on, ladies and gentlemen? It is That's Another Miami Dolphins First Down with Steven Daniels and first down guest Josh Moser.
What is up? What is up? What is going on, ladies and gentlemen? We are back. It is Stephen D, first down guest Josh Moser. That's Another Miami Dolphins First Down podcast, the best podcast in the land. Hanging out with you live on Dolphins Talk. If you're watching us right now, do me a huge favor. Hit the like button if you're over here on YouTube and subscribe to the channel. If you're watching us on Facebook or Twitter, hey, come over to YouTube. We'd love to see you there and subscribe to the channel. A lot of great content. And we are here each and every Tuesday at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. What's up, Josh? How's it going, man?
Going well, man. How are you?
I think the world is busy, including yourself. You have you just had the NFL draft. You have NBA playoffs. You have NHL playoffs. You have Major League Baseball. You literally might be one of the busiest people in the world right now.
Oh, yeah. We got F1 in town this weekend. So Miami is being taken over from the world of racing. So it's good to be in demand, but always got to make some time to be with you, my man.
I am excited about it. And we're going to dive right into things because we got a little bit of time tonight, but I want to make sure we kind of get as much as possible talking about the draft. There's a lot to get into. So we're going to kind of break down each draft pick a little bit. And some will do a little bit more than others. But the first person I want to talk about is Chop Robinson. First round pick, pick 21. What did you think about the Dolphins drafting Chop Robinson as their first pick in the draft?
It was really interesting because leading up to the draft, he really wasn't a name that was being mentioned or really thrown around a lot in the media. But after talking to general manager Chris Greer, you know, this is the guy he said that they targeted from the onset. They loved him when they spoke to him at the combine and all the pre-draft meetings. They didn't even bring him here on a 30-man visit. But what really stood out to me, I don't know if you saw the video, when Jared Verse got drafted, he's like, Miami, come and get me. So this was a place that he wanted to be. And I think that goes a long way. And look, we've talked about this ad nauseum. The hardest players to find are big guys that can move. So you want to talk about an athletic big guy that can move? Chop Robinson is it. So over 250 pounds and just his bend and his highlights getting around the edge. He is a special raw talent. It makes so much sense. You want to bolster the defensive line, especially with all of the pieces that they lost and Bradley Chubb coming off of injury, Jalen Phillips coming off of injury. So here's somebody that will hopefully be a day one starter. And so far, I really like the pick. I love his backstory. I talked to Manny Diaz. Remember, he's the former Miami coach that was the DC up at Penn State. And he says he loves Chop Robinson. So from everybody I've talked to, it seems like he's a great fit. Very nice. He's kind of a interesting backstory a little bit too. One of 10 siblings. So he's a guy, he said, I need to feed my family and I'm hungry. And you'd love to hear that, especially from a position player and a position group like defensive edge. You're looking for a ruthless player. And Chop Robinson, man, it seems like he could be a perfect fit. And hopefully he's got a long, healthy, and successful career here in a Dolphins uniform.
I'm super excited about him. I think he brings a quality to this team that I think they were trying to find over the last couple of years. And that is that smash mouth, in your face, gritty football player, and Chop Robinson brings that. He also is going to bring a new thing to the stadium, Chop. I don't know how we're going to do this or get it involved, but I think he has the best name in the NFL. Personally, I love it, Chop Robinson. But I'm excited to also see him with learning from the likes of Bradley Chubb as well as JP too. And I just think, man, when everybody's healthy, tell me this isn't the best pass rush in the NFL right now.
Think of it this way. What if you put all three of those players on the field at the same time? What would that look like?
It'd be scary for quarterbacks. I know that. They wouldn't want to face it. We're actually going to jump ahead a little bit and stay in the pass rush category to actually probably my favorite pick of the draft besides Chop. And I love Chop. But Muhammad Kamara, a fifth round pick, another edge rusher out of Colorado State. Is this one of the steals of the entire draft, Josh?
It could be. I really don't know too much about Muhammad. I covered Colorado State when I worked in Denver. It's when Shaq Barrett was there. So here you have a connection automatically, and you hope that Barrett can be the guy to help kind of mentor Kamara. But when you're looking at athletic big guys that can move, and this guy fits the bill. His college tape was great. You play in, you know, a non-Power 5 conference, but obviously the measurables are there. Everything is there. I think he's a player with a potential and a lot of upside as your draft buzzword. Mm-hmm. But again, the key on defense is you're trying to put the opposing quarterback on the ground, and you can never have enough pass rush. So I think this was a great value pick, and you're hoping that he can be a diamond in the rough. You know, I know that Kader Kohu went undrafted, but he has been a solid addition. You're hoping that Muhammad could have a similar effect.
Yeah, for me, Muhammad Kamara is somebody that I don't know too much of, but the moment we drafted him, I went and did a lot of research, and what I found out, man, is this guy goes after the quarterback, and he probably should have been maybe even as high as a third round pick. So the fact that he dropped all the way to the fifth round, it's always interesting to see guys drop in the draft that will have a higher, hey, look, we think this guy's going to go in the second round, or we think this guy's going to go in the third round. And to see him be in the fifth round for us, I think we got two of the three best pass rushers in the draft this year.
Wow, that's a big statement right there. I mean, Hunter going in the first round, the kid out of UCLA, one of them first round, that went to the Colts.
Yeah.
But, I mean, there's...
I like Muhammad Kamara. I think he would have went higher had he played at a bigger school and played just against a little bit better talent, right? Colorado sure. State, who were they really playing against? But to be fair, the kid's got it. And I think, you know, we've had some pretty good fifth round draft picks in our past, Mose. Zach Thomas, maybe you heard of him. I'm pretty sure he was a fifth rounder.
Special year this last year, I think.
Yeah, just a special one. Yeah. Just a special one. So, look, we have a good history of being able to bring people. And, you know, Coach McDaniel, you know, talked about a little bit. Actually, Greer talked about having a guy like Kamara, and he said we're kind of surprised he was there. He's physical, he's fast, tremendous motor, obviously all the things that you would say in the particular draft pick there. We lost Mose. That's okay, we'll bring him right back. There we go. I don't know. He's relentless, and he showed Mike McDaniel the passion that he has. So this sounds like it was a McDaniel pick more than anything, which is interesting too.
No, I mean, look, you're looking to build a culture, and you've seen it get established under Mike McDaniel. And we know that this team is built on offense, and I'm sure we're going to dive, you know, deeper into that. But when this team was at its best last year was when the defense was playing great, when all the bodies were healthy. So you're looking to get as much depth as you can. And especially, I hate to say it, but you're always looking for an insurance policy just in case somebody goes down like we saw last year. And if you get this type of guy in a late round to play well, you know, he makes up for the Channing Tindall pick. He makes up, gives you an extra guy that you can eat. So you're hoping that these guys can come in, they can contribute. And I think with Shaq Barrett being on this roster, playing a similar position, understanding that he was in the exact same spot, and you can go on to win two Super Bowls and you can go on to win Pro Bowls, I look for him to really be his mentor. And that's going to be an interesting storyline to follow as we move closer to the season through OTAs, rookie camp, and into training camp in July.
That's another Miami Dolphins First Down podcast. Stephen Daniels, myself, and Josh Moser hanging out with you live on Dolphins Talk. If you're watching us on YouTube, make sure you hit the like button. And if you want to donate to the channel, you guys can use the YouTube Live Super Chat, which is the dollar sign below the bottom of the chat. All right, let's keep on going. We're going to go back up into the second round. One of the things that this team has always discussed, at least in the fan base, as well as the media, is depth at offensive line. And they addressed that in the second round with Patrick Paul, 55 overall pick. I mean, this man is a monster of a man. What did you think about Patrick Paul being there in the second round for the Dolphins?
From everybody that I've spoken to, he has the potential to develop into a special player. You talk about the measurables with him standing 6'7", 350 pounds, and his ability to move. And We all know that Teron Armstead is fighting through so much, and this is a guy that could potentially replace him. But one thing that's kind of be interesting, you know, Tua's talked a lot about in the past his inability to see over the tackles. So here's a guy that's 6'7" on the taller side. You know, I'm curious to see what that's going to look like in front of Tua, just because Tua is a shorter quarterback. He's admitted to it. That's why they like to throw the ball over the middle of the field so much. But here's a raw player that could be an all-pro. They think that he has all of the tools, and that's exactly what you're looking for in the second round. You know, look at Robert Hunt, just signed the biggest guard contract in NFL history. Obviously, yep. The Dolphins got priced out. So to me, this move makes sense. You can never have enough people protecting your quarterback.
More like Carolina overpaid $20 million. I'm just saying, I don't think he was worth 20 mil, but he got his money, right? And that's the value of a guy who's playing downs in the NFL and having starts, and all that adds up.
Exactly. And this is a group on the offensive line. It's like a starting five in basketball. You know, you have to communicate. You have to have chemistry between you. And the more that you switch it up, the more difficult it is. But if you look at this offensive line, the key word is versatility. You're looking for guys that can play multiple positions. We've seen it. It always hasn't been great at times. Mm-hmm. But if Paul can develop into the player that he projects to be, it looks like the Dolphins could have two home runs with their first two picks in this year's draft.
I agree. I wholeheartedly agree with you. And I think even though Teron Armstead is here, in my opinion, he's only good for 13 games, maybe a few more. And so this guy's going to see the field this year, in my opinion. And I think he's going to eventually be the future of this offensive line, which I like. All right, let's go on a little bit to the next pick that we had. I was very surprised. We did not have a fourth round pick, Josh. And we traded up to get this guy out of Tennessee named Jalen Wright, another Jalen on the team, mind you. If we had a law office, it would be Jalen, 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 and Jalen, the law offices of. Tell me about Jalen Wright or getting a running back in the fourth round.
This is a player that Mike McDaniel loved. He's a 4-3 guy with speed. And you're talking about Raheem Mostert being older. You're talking about Jeff Wilson being older. So the future of the running back room is Devon Achane. So here is a compliment and a guy with home run speed. Now, this is a player, when he spoke to us, he was pissed that he wasn't taken higher. So this is a guy that comes in with a lot to prove. And I think that this makes the running back room that much deeper, and we've seen players at that position just take a beating. You know, Chris Brooks got hurt. Salvin Ahmed got hurt. Raheem Mostert missed time last season. Jeff Wilson missed time last season. So here is another piece that you can add with breakaway speed. More importantly, another piece that you're going to have to account for on an opposing defense that can create more space to open things up for anybody else. So if the knock on Wright is that he lacks vision sometimes. He always tries to break it to the outside to hit that home run and use his speed. And you can do that at the college level. But here you have a very good running backs coach, and Eric Studesville was a head coach, coached in college. You know, they love him here. Raheem Mostert raves about him. So here is a player, again, that fits this offense, that fits this team, and somebody with a chip on his shoulder, which is exactly what you want as a running back. And I think you can never have enough weapons for Tua. And if Wright pans out, you know, they're really hoping that he does, because they gave up a pick to move up and get him. That's how strongly they felt. And it always feels good as a player when you know that a team really wants you and they go and they spend their assets to bring you in. You know, that's a really good feeling.
All right, let's go on to the next pick. And I agree with everything that you said there. But this next pick is interesting because before the draft, we were linked to some players at this position. And then they went ahead and addressed it. And I think they hit a home run, to be perfectly honest, with the value pick. And that is Malik Washington, wide receiver out of Virginia, six-round pick, 184. I like Malik Washington, man. I do. And look, it's funny. We have to understand that there are so many guys in the draft that are going to make the 53-man squad. I get it. I understand that. We'd like to say all these guys would make it. But I got to be honest, I think about five or six of them could make it. And Malik is one of those guys. What did you think about the Dolphins drafting maybe wide receiver 3, 4, depending on which one it is, in Malik Washington.
Yeah, look, we saw him play against the Canes this year for everybody that's a Miami Hurricanes football fan. But this is such a great value pick. You know, Virginia's offense really didn't do all of that much. But here's a guy, if you look at the measurables and what he can do, he projects as a much higher round pick. So at the totality of the draft, the Dolphins actually had the second best draft value over anybody else. The Lions, according to a lot of draft experts, had the best value draft. But this is another guy that can come in and compete. And I've covered teams that have carried as many as 7 wide receivers. So, and especially now with the change in the new special teams rules and how they're doing the kickoff, you know, here's another guy that you could potentially add. So remember, there's also a practice squad. And this is a guy that could be counted on halfway through the season. You might shine in training camp. You might shine in the preseason. You know, we really don't know all of that much about him, but with the measurables in the 6th round, I mean, you've got to love the value that he brings. But we're talking about a loaded wide receiving core with Waddle, Tyreek Hill, and then it's a question of, is Eric Ezukama healthy enough to play? Are they still going to bring in somebody like Odell Beckham Jr.? But you're talking about competition and depth in a room, and here's a player that could come in, hopefully make the practice squad, and hopefully have a big season if called upon.
All right, let's talk about the last two picks together, because you know, I think they're both good and they both will have an opportunity to make the squad, if not at least practice squad players. That is Patrick McMorris, safety out of Cal. I honestly think he might be able to play some other positions. And then Taj Washington, another wide receiver, mind you, that was the number one overall pick's favorite weapon in college football last year. Talk to me a little bit about Patrick and Taj.
Well, let's start with Patrick. This team needs help at safety. You just don't have a lot of safeties on this roster. You brought in Jordan Poyer, obviously. You've got Javon Holland, who's entering into the last year of his contract. And then maybe you can slide, you know, Nick Needham is kind of a slot corner. Maybe he plays a little bit of safety. But again, you're looking for versatility in the secondary. So here's a guy that could play corner. He could play nickel. Again, multiple positions. But they really don't have a lot of true safeties on this roster. I think there are 4 in total. So this is a depth add. Again, it's someone that you hope can flash. And then with my guy out of USC, everybody, I'm a Trojan. You know, Taj Washington, again, like you said, was Caleb Williams, the number one overall pick's favorite target. I was watching a lot of USC football on Saturdays, like we do every year with my buddies. And you hope that he can translate his game to the NFL. Just being honest with everybody, as a 7th round pick, everybody's writing you off. The college game speed is so much different than the NFL. But you saw flashes on the film of what this guy can be. His biggest issue is consistency. He's his favorite target, but you've got to do it on every play. And more so than Tyreek, it's Jalen Waddle. If you look at Jalen Waddle's route running, you know, that's really the guy that Washington needs to pay attention to. So again, with the leaders you have at the top of the room, you've got speedy, athletic players that are coming up, exactly what you want out of a 6th and 7th round player. So I agree. Taj is a sleeper. Again, you saw him star at moments, but when you're a pro, the word is consistent. Can you be good every week? And that's what separates you from making an NFL roster to being a starter, to being a Pro Bowl caliber player. Washington has the tools, needs the mental side to step in. And again, we're talking about a very complicated playbook with this Dolphins team. But I really, really hope that either him or the kid out of Virginia can make an impact this season, because you still have River Craycraft was brought back. You still have Braxton Berrios. You still have Eric Ezukama. So, and again, there's still talk of potentially bringing somebody else in. And I wouldn't be surprised if they also brought in a veteran safety. I don't think it's going to be Simmons, the high-priced safety that they cut out of Denver. Remember, Brandon Jones, the safety here, went to Denver signing the big deal. I think it's just too much money with the cap space involved. But, you know, I've been talking to a few people. There really aren't too many holes right now, Steven, on this Dolphins roster. I mean, they have a lot of young depth at a lot of different positions. And then you just hope, like you do every year, that this team can stay healthy. And then you hope that the young guys can grow and they can actually be a big part of this team in the second half of the season. And then you put yourself in a position to finally win a playoff game for the first time in 24 years.
That would be nice. I would love that. All right, before we go to the next thing, just want to remind y'all, after our show tonight is another great show. It is Finn's Factor. Usually it has the host of Manny as well as Marissa. Marissa is going to be driving the show tonight. Manny's taking a few weeks off, relaxing, my man Manny. And I'm going to be stepping into the passenger seat tonight with Marissa. I'm pulling
double dipper.
I know, I'm double duty. As soon as we finish up this show here, about 8:15 Eastern Standard Time, Finn's Factor is going to have Marissa and myself, and we'll be on for about an hour. So be on the lookout for that. And as a reminder, every Friday morning, myself and Dougley Do Wrong have a brand new podcast. We talk about the Dolphins, and we also talk about other things. It's called Me, Myself, and This Guy. You guys need to come hang out with Dougley Do Wrong and myself. It's always a lot of fun. We record it Thursday night, and we air it on Friday morning. So make sure you guys check that out. All right, so the Dolphins address some of these issues that this team has had some holes on, and I think they plugged them using the picks they had in this draft. My question to you is I have a few different ones. We'll start at wide receiver. Are they still in the market for a free agent? Is Odell Beckham potentially still a name?
Odell Beckham Jr. is still a name. They're very far apart on money. And now that the draft has passed, teams have a much better idea of where their rosters are, where their salary cap is. The only thing that's really hindering teams right now at this point are the after June 1st designations. We're talking about Xavien Howard. So they know the amount of money that will be, you know, allotted to their salary cap space. So they know the math equation at this point. But also when you're dealing with players like Xavien Howard, just using him as an example, just to clarify to all Dolphins fans, Xavien Howard has said personally that the door is closed on coming back to the Dolphins. So there is no chance that he re-signs for less money. So let's start there. But with these types of players, they don't really want to go through a training camp, to be honest with you. And you know, you look at Melvin Ingram, who can come in. We've seen him on the Dolphins now twice, picked up mid-season. They don't need to do all of that buildup. And quite honestly, they don't want that buildup on their bodies. So
they're willing to sit at home for a couple of months, wait till the season gets in, see who the playoff teams are, and then sign with one of those playoff teams as added depth or potential impact player.
Exactly. And when you put the general manager hat on, you're always wanting to leave extra money so that you can make a trade mid-season, so that you can extend a player mid-season. So there's a couple different ways to do this. Obviously, for the Dolphins, the first order of business is getting Tua's extension done, and I do expect that to happen before week one. You know, we're hearing right now that training camp hopefully is the when this thing finally comes to fruition, but I truly do expect this extension to get done prior to week one. And at that point, I think that will solidify a lot of things for this team and for teams around the league that are, you know, hoping to make a trade or wanting to add an additional piece. And it also tells the potential free agent wide receivers that they know that Tua will be the guy. So I know that fans are saying, you know, he hasn't won a playoff game. Yes, he was healthy this year, but what about the year before? Lamar Jackson played on the franchise tag, you know, and all of this. But right now, the way that the salary cap is structured and what his peers are getting from his draft class in that position, you know, you're looking at Tua making $50 million a year. So Tyreek right now is making just over $30 million a year, was the highest paid wide receiver. He is not anymore. So possibly maybe there's an extension for him to bump back up. You know, that could potentially be in the works. Nothing official on that yet. We'll keep you posted. But right now it looks like the Dolphins have a very, very strong team. Certainly you're not going to get the production from Christian Wilkins. You wish him the best. You had to have him take the money, 4 years, $110 million with the Raiders. I think Las Vegas had a really good draft. I think they could be a sneaky team. They're just missing a quarterback. They really need a quarterback.
Didn't draft a quarterback. They did not draft one. I was surprised by that.
But again, you can build your team in a multitude of ways. So they have a lot of weapons. And, you know, the AFC is loaded. We've talked about this, Steven. And I mean, you know, you used to be, I'm going to put this out there. I'm sorry. You know, had some ties to Baltimore and the Ravens, but you want to talk about the AFC North and the gauntlet. To me, that could be the toughest division in football this year with the Steelers, with what the Browns have done. I mean, with Joe Burrow coming back, I mean, that is going to be a monster division. Selfishly, for Dolphins fans, you want them to beat up on themselves. And when you look at the AFC East, you're thinking that the Bills certainly took a step back. You don't know what the Jets are with Aaron Rodgers and what they're going to be. Mm-hmm. And then obviously with the Patriots, you don't know what they're going to be either. So as of right now, as it sits, I'm still taking the Dolphins to win the division.
All right. That's another Miami Dolphins First Down podcast. Steven Daniels, myself, and Josh Moser, my First Down guests. As I have each and every week right here on Dolphins Talk. Josh, there's a lot to get into. What is this is the last question as far as it's related. What is the timeline over the next few weeks for football? We got, you know, some OTAs, rookie minicamps, and obviously the schedule is going to get released. What is the schedule like for everything?
I'm hearing May 9th, so we're like 10 days out from the schedule, which will be really cool. We know that the Dolphins do not have an international game this year. So there's some really cool spots. I know that Houston's an away game, Indy's an away game, the Green Bay Packers and Lambeau Field is an away game. Mm-hmm. So with the other three teams, that's six. I want to say it's the Rams or Chargers in LA.
Yep.
Is another one. So you got some really cool cities potentially coming up for Dolphins fans that love to travel. I'm going to swivel my chair around because I have the OTA schedule sitting right here. So rookie minicamp is the 10th and the 11th of May. So we're looking realistically a week out, and then OTAs start the week of May 21st. And then they'll continue that next week. May 21st is a Wednesday. And then normally you have a dead period in all of June. The entire league takes off and then the players come back the last week of July for training camp. And then, you know, we'll see if eventually this 18-week schedule gets pushed through. You drop a preseason game. You've got two of those instead of three. And then you've got Super Bowl weekend on Martin Luther King weekend with Monday as a national holiday and the day off after the Super Bowl. That's Roger Goodell's vision. Something to kind of, you know, pay attention to. We're realistically maybe talking only like one or two players, maybe three out of the entire league. But with the new developmental football league that's going on, the merger of the XFL and everything together, you know, that's kind of another thing that scouts can look at. So, you know, you're hoping that one or two guys can get an actual look for the NFL. And so I would
love to see, just throwing this out there, and this is a whole conversation for another day, just a side note, I would love to see practice squad players be allowed to play in the spring league now that they have that relationship.
Yeah, but that's tough because what if you get hurt? You're signed to an NFL contract. You're signed to a futures contract. You're already in the league. At that point, why take a step back, quote unquote, because the players that are playing in that league are trying to get the position you're in now. But yes, it does give you a chance to stay fresh. It does give you game experience. It does allow you to, quote unquote, you know, iron sharpens
iron. It's what NFL Europe did for a long time. And it was one of the things that I enjoyed about NFL Europe and watching them, the Frankfurt Galaxy, and seeing the Dolphins logo on the back of some of those players' helmets, which, by the way, Frankfurt Galaxy had the coolest logo and jerseys in NFL Europe. But that's neither here or there. But yeah, I mean, I would like to see that, and that's a whole other thing. What do you got coming up, my man? Where can the people find you?
Man, I'm just hanging out with you every Tuesday night, first and foremost, at 7:30 right here on Dolphins Talk. Anybody in South Florida or anybody that's on vacation visiting the Caribbean, you can find me on Channel 7, WSVN TV, the Fox affiliate of Miami. If you're in the Keys, we're down there as well. We've got an app. We stream it live. If you guys aren't doing anything on Sunday nights because there's no football, 11:30 to midnight Eastern, I host a show with Drew Rosenhaus. We do a big segment called Extra Points, kind of get the skinny on the Dolphins. He's got 13 players on their roster, and he's got a lot of SoFlo ties, just a ton of NFL knowledge. We're bringing guests on the show. We're going to start bringing some guests on here. And just a special time, man, again in South Florida, playoffs, F1, running around the city. And this is what we get to do for a living, man. It's fun. But here, happy to hang out and always make some time. Dolphins fans, man, it's special. It's cool to see Dolphins Twitter. Sometimes Dolphins Twitter, you got to calm down a little bit. It can be a crazy place at times, very reactionary.
Just a little bit. I agree.
We love it. That's what we're here for. And yeah, man, just enjoying on the SoFlow lifestyle, baby.
I like it. I like it. Reminder to everybody, make sure you go check out Finn's Factor. In about 10 minutes, we'll be on live right here on the YouTube channel and everywhere. Marissa, I'll be filling in, doing the double duty. But make sure you guys check that out. I appreciate you guys watching today. Hit the like button, share the link, let people know about this episode, share it with everybody. For Josh Moser, myself, Steven Daniels, it's been a lot of fun. We hope to see you next time on That's Another Miami Dolphins First Down.
See you, everybody.
I know the whole city, right?